Good morning, church. Oh no, it's going to be that kind of morning. All right. All right, good morning. All right, we're awake. Good. Welcome. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad that that you were able to wake up this morning. I'm glad that if you're feeling well, even if you weren't feeling well and you still came, or if you're joining us online, know that you are loved this morning. Know that you've been prayed over. Know that even if we don't know your name, we care. We really do. We want to be involved in your life. We want to be here for you. We want to be the church that God has called us to be, right? That's our hope. That's our hope. I heard a couple amens, so I'm good with that this morning, all right? You know, it's the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is this this anticipating the coming, all right? And the anticipation is we are getting ready. Now, this draws flashbacks for me when I was a kid. If we were to have visitors coming over, it was like we were supposed to present a house that was never lived in. Anybody else? Amen. And so, like, my I'm bagging on my mom. I love you, Mom. I was a horrible teenager. I know it. All right? So now you get to relive this if she watches. And she watches sometimes. All right? And then I'll get a text, be like, oh, I was a good mom, wasn't I? You were a great mom. All right? I know she would come home at, you know, from work, and Christmas is coming. We're having people over our house, and she would do the dust test, and I was the duster and the vacuumer, and I'm still horrible. Just talk to Michelle. I really am bad at dusting. I have a tendency to break things. I don't pick them up. I just dust over them, right? And I broke a lot of things as a teenager. I had to ask for a lot of forgiveness, right? But this idea, like, I know I loved Christmas. This is my favorite time of season. I hope it is yours too. But I can understand as an adult, even as a teenager, as a kid too, it can be a little wear and tear on you, especially at the beginning. I feel like, because the anticipation, you're coming off of Thanksgiving, and you're already tired from all the turkey and all the leftover turkey, and now you have to have energy to buy gifts, you have to have energy to get Christmas stuff up. Like, there's all this energy, and it's expending, and you have time, and you have all these deadlines to hit, right? And in the middle of that, too, you have this Advent Sunday where we are preparing for the coming King. And trying to get our heart set for that is tough sometimes, especially when we are all concerned about everything else that we have to present and have to portray and have to get ready to have the perfect Christmas. Am I right? All right. Got one. All right. But I want to take a moment. I want to take a moment this morning, and it might be weird, and if you're new here, we don't do this every morning. We don't have breathing exercises every Sunday, but I want to take a moment where we can take a breath. All right? And so what we're going to do is take three nice long breaths. And you'll do it with me. So on the count of three, we'll take three breaths. All right? So one, two, three. All right, another one. One more. All right, nobody passed out. We're good, right? We feel more relaxed. We probably are ready to hear what I have to say. I just want us to take this moment to slow down and acknowledge who God is and what he is doing, right? We hear the whole, this is the reason for this season, right? And it becomes an anthem, but we have a tendency to forget about it when we're shopping, when we're working. We have a tendency to sit down when we look and see what's on TV, or we hear about the negative, and we're like, they just don't know the reason of the season. But the reality is, if we're living it out and understanding it through the chaos, that's the trick, that's the gift, that's what we have to start in anticipation for this year, for Christmas, is understanding the gift that we celebrate. Right? It's the real gift. And what I love about the gift idea, we have a tendency to think, if I receive a gift, what should I get back? A thank you, maybe even a gift back, right? We've been trained for that. Do you understand this gift is given freely and has zero expectation back to him? That it's given to you without any kind of strings. And when you receive it, life changes. That's, I want to say, the catch. Because you cannot help, the moment that you open the gift of salvation, Jesus Christ, your life changes when you receive it. It becomes a part of you, and you want to live that part out loud. You want that part to be reigning here. And this is the thing that we get lost. We put Christmas on one day, and the reality is this, for us as followers of Jesus Christ, every day is an opportunity to reopen this gift. Because there are many times we have opened this gift, and we've taken it, and then immediately turn our back and let go of it, and walked away from it. Now, I want you to understand how devastating this is to the gift giver. He hurts when we walk away and let go of this gift. And it's not a hurt that is selfish. It is hurt for us. It is a hurt that understands we have just let down something that changes our life forever, and we've walked away from it. The amazing thing is that gift is always being given. Not just once, not just twice, but for eternity. It is a gift that will always be given to you. And you have every ample opportunity to receive this gift. Now, the desire that God has with this gift is that you understand this gift changes you for eternity and that you don't want to let it go. In fact, you want to embrace this gift daily, moment by moment, more and more, because the reality is this, you find hope there. You find hope in Jesus. You see, this morning, I don't know if it's just me or just those who I've talked to lately, but it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to lose track of why life is worth living, why work is worth working, why getting up in the morning is worth getting up in the morning for. And I will tell you, the moment you understand the gift, you understand why you live. You understand why you work. You understand why you get up in the morning. Because it is a gift from God. And we understand that hope. As we start this series, I'm going to talk about "Did you hear?" as the key phrase this series. And I think if I were to take it out of context or and start in any way, you can probably put this phrase and go, okay, this can cause a lot of problems. Did you hear that? Are you going to get up? Are anybody in here the ones that when there's a noise in the middle of the night, they have to get up and check and be the sacrificial one? Yeah? Yeah, me too. I got a little bat, all right? So if you break in, I'll swing and run. All right, that's my momentum. Like, I've hit Jackson a couple times. All right? I have not. Don't call DCFS on us, all right? Please, he's a healthy kid, right? He's not giving a thumbs up. Oh, there it is. Whew. All right. But it's not that. It's not this either. It's, hey, did you hear? It's not the gossip. It's not the moment of going, hey, did you hear somebody needs prayer? Or did you hear they're going through this issue? No, it's not that. It's not that we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about Zechariah and Elizabeth, out of Luke 1. And I'm going to give you kind of a synopsis of their story at the beginning. They're an older couple, and he's a priest. And it comes to, he draws lots. There's so many priests that they get, it could be once in a lifetime that they get to be in this room called the Holy of Holies, all right, where they pray, and it is a chance for the priest to meet with God, not like face to face, but God's presence there. His Holy Spirit is there. And there's some uniqueness about this. It would be interesting to be a priest during this time, because if you were in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and you were with sin, sin could not exist in the presence of God. Therefore, you would pass away. So anything in which you were dealing with as a priest and you didn't repent before going in, you would probably pass away. And so what they would do, they would have this problem. This is amazing, because they've had these problems that they've had to deal with. The priest would tie a rope around their waist and walk in. And if they didn't come out for a couple hours, if they didn't, they would just start tugging and pull the dead priest out. That's intense. That's not the job I want. I'm glad I don't have to do that today. I'm glad that the Spirit is here. I'm glad Jesus Christ has came and he's redeemed my sins on the cross, and I don't have to face that as my issue anymore, because, whew, I'm going to have to double knot some things here, right? But God is good, and in this moment, you have this beautiful elderly couple, and they have no kids, and that is another situation in which they believed during this time that if you didn't have any kids, if you were unable to have kids, you were probably not looked upon favorably by God. All right? And so, you know, people pitied Elizabeth and Zechariah, and they still loved them. They were highly honored. They were good people. They were upstanding people. Just God didn't see favor in them. All right? And so happens that Zechariah at this time, at the beginning of Luke, he draws the lot to go in. And so he's preparing the place of Holy of Holies, and he's going in, and he's praying, and all of a sudden something amazing happens. An angel appears before him. Now, I've never had an angel appear before me. I've not had God appear before me. Like, I've not had those moments. I've had my moments where I've been frightened by noises at late at night. Anybody else? Like, I'm not very easy to scare, but I've had those moments, all right, where the hair back on my head goes, okay, what's going on? Let's act tough, right? Anybody else? Nope, just me? Okay, good. And if somebody were to show up, I'm like, I'd probably run. It's just my natural, like, all right, it is what it is. Not afraid in a minute. So, you know, an angel appears before Zechariah, and he's frightened, and he's fearful, like anybody else I think in here would be. And the angel starts speaking to him, and he says, "Don't be fearful. I am sent by God. I have a great message for you. I have a great information to bestow upon you. You and your beautiful wife are going to have a kid." Now, I want to pause the story there. Whew. That would scare me too in that moment. If my wife came to me today and said, "Hey, guess what? Our life's changing. I have a senior in high school and I have a freshman in high school. I am not ready to change diapers again." It would be scary. And I'm not, like, I'm middle age and I already feel old. All right? I can't imagine being their age and going, "Oh, guess what?" And having this angel stand before you that's a message from God going, "Hey, you're going to have a child." Now, I think he had a natural reaction. His natural reaction was this: "You're kidding me, right? You know our age. We've accepted it now. This can't be, you're joking. You're pulling my leg." And this, I think this angel had zero humor, because he had a mission. and he was sent by God. And when that mission wasn't just conveyed as the voice of God being told to him in that moment, he let him have it. And it quite a punishment. All right? He told him, listen, you're not going to speak until this baby's born. Huh. That's 9 months of not speaking. That's wild. All right? And I started thinking about this too. He's told this, he understands it, and I think he's got, like, he can't speak anymore, and he's got this unbelievable grin slash, oh no, what am I going to do, panic look. I don't know how they coexist, but they coexist. I know it coexists because I had that once. The first time that my wife came and told me we're having a child, it was, yes, oh no, right? It meant I had to grow up. Now, he was of the age, we're already grown up. I was done with this idea of ever having it. And now, everybody that was standing out, usually people wait for the priest to come out so they can relay the message that God has bestowed upon them. And it's been a while. And they're like, what's going on? Should we start tugging? Right? So he comes out. First game of charades probably ever. And remember, he's an elderly guy trying to explain. Right? And they're going, did you eat too much? What's going on? Like, they could not understand him. They could not get him. But he went home, and Elizabeth ended up being pregnant. And she went away for 5 months. He couldn't speak that entire time. Now, I want to focus on something real quick. After telling this story, maybe. There we go. I want to talk about this. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at his right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. I want to talk about the moments in our lives, especially during this time of season, where it's easy to get our focus off of God. As we set up for Christmas, as we look at the lights, as we're frustrated that things are broken, as we are, you know, the price of gifts are skyrocketing, and like, you know, and we're just got, like, trying to meet the expectations that we even have of ourselves during this time of season. It's frustrating, right? And then I think we can think about this in terms of just every Sunday or every moment we have with God. I want us to think about this. When we truly have that experience where God shows up before us, do we meet him with fear and trembling? And I think there's two ways to it. There's two ways. There's a fear and trembling that understands and the respect that I need to owe God, and the presence that I find myself in is the all-creator of everything. The one in this moment, if he said it, my life would end. The moment he said it, he would give me everything. The moment he said it, I would be in his presence. And understanding that awesome power, the amazing creator, the one that has boundless thoughts, the ones that think beyond anything in this world, can defeat every mathematician, can defeat everything, understands everything, and I'm in his presence, and I go, I am in his presence. I am not worthy. Now, there's another fear. I'm in his presence. What is he going to ask of me? Why is God here? In this moment, I'm happy with the moment that I realize that I need him, but why is he calling on me? That can be a different kind of fear. Because I think, and I truly believe, especially during this season, is understanding, if we want to understand what the gift is that we have a calling to live that gift out. And all our gifts, I truly believe this. I've talked to some of you. I know some of you. I've gotten to know some of you even more. And you are beautifully made in the image of God. Do you believe that? That you all are beautifully made in the image of God. I want you to take a moment and understand that. That the attributes of who you are. And as a child and as a teenager, I would think, so God looks like me and my mom and my dad and my best friend? That's weird. How does God change all those? It is the attributes of who you are. The goodness of Ben Alexander, the goodness of you is formed out of God. And we are made in that image. That's amazing. He comes to tell us and show us how to live this image out. And I want you to know, sometimes it is fearful to hear those words because it's challenging us to change. To change the way we think of even worshiping God today. It changes even the way that we need to read the Bible. It changes even the way that we love our spouse. It changes even the way that we work. It makes us understand the value of who we are is not by what we can do, but what God has done in us. And how He continues to work in us. You see, the moment that we receive this gift, the moment we understand this gift and we allow God to work in here, it can be fearful. In fact, I think a lot of us kind of do this gauge. Listen, God, I will give you about 65% of who I am, but listen, that other percentage, I want to keep. Because I'm not ready to give it up. I'm not, like, you can't handle it. The unforgiven heart, you don't know what they did to me. Or, you know, the addictions that I have within this. Listen, I want to be a good follower of Christ, but I just can't. The steps that I make on an everyday basis is just, this is who I am. And God comes in, no. I know who you are because I created you. Do you believe me? Because I want more out of you. Can you imagine God just showing up at your front door? He probably wouldn't knock anymore because we wouldn't answer. We'd look through the little, you know, ring doorbell now. Like, what do you want? I want some time with you. Hey, why don't you come back on Sunday? Spend time with you then. I'm kind of busy right now. I'm wrapping gifts. You see, it is so easy to get caught up in today's world and the things that we think are even right and lose the whole relationship that God is starving to have with you. And I will tell you, it's easy to gauge this too. How hopeful are you? Let me put some stances out here. How hopeful are you in certain situations that are going to be redeemed, forgiven? How hopeful are you that the work situation that you're dealing with is resolved? How hopeful are you that maybe a broken marriage is going to find healing and understanding? How hopeful are you that, man, God's got this. I'm good. Because I think that will tell you how much you have allowed God to sit here and be the full gauge of your life. Because when He has everything, your doubts, your hopes, your wants, your desires, when He has them all, it changes everything. It changes everything. But it's fearful when it happens. And this is why I think it is. Just like Zechariah, he was what? He was defined by an old priest, right, who didn't have any kids, and he was a good man. That's all he was known for. And he kind of probably was like, this is who I am. And then an angel sits before him with the message of God and says, you're going to have a kid. And it's very easy to go, no, you're kidding. That's not going to happen. I think we have a tendency with our own spiritual walk to do the same thing. We know that God wants all our hurt and all our anger and all the things that we don't forgive. And he goes, pour this upon me. Let me die on the cross for it. Let me forgive it. Let me help you love the people that are unlovable. Right? Help me redeem those things. Help me with your attitude. Let me adjust your attitude. Let me adjust who you are so you can be glorifying God as you walk this day. And so the things that hinder you don't define you anymore. Growing up, I was a child of divorce. Not just once, not just twice, not just three times. I was a child of many divorces. And it was easy for me growing up to be the child of divorce and look at myself as, this is who I am. If I make it through school, that's good, because statistically I shouldn't make it through school. I didn't really have a father figure in my life during the years that you need him. I took advantage of a single mom that worked a lot of hours, and I was out and about. And it was easy for me to be defined by those things. God grabbed me in those early years and said, you're not defined by that. You are a child of God, and you need to live and really believe you're a child of God. And it changed me. And I give God all the glory, because I had my opportunities not to be standing here today. But God changed me. Because I don't believe that I am just a child of divorce. I'm a redeemed son of God. And I find my hope in that. And you know what? It changed my whole stance with my family from that point on. I was no longer angry with my dad. Now, did it have to change did it just immediately go away? No, guess what? It took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of you know what? No, God, I don't want to do that. And him going, you have to. Do you see where you're hurting, and you've got to let it go. And the moment I would feel free, and I feel closer to God in those moments because he was changing me. And I was accepting it. You see, the relationships turned. And they weren't just all about Ben Alexander and how they were treating Ben Alexander. In fact, it turned around and go, okay, God, how can I love them the way you love me? And there's going to be moments that the people that should owe me a forgiveness, I go to them and go, listen, I had a resentful heart towards you. Please forgive me. There's hope in that. There's hope in that. But it's not easy when God stands there in front of us and goes, and we're living life day by day, and there's a moment that God just shows up and goes, hey, listen, I need you to do this. It's going to change your entire life. You see, just like Zechariah, I think we will probably have some of the same inclinations that we have, that he has. Are you kidding me? You can't use me? I'm not a speaker for you. I don't have that trait. I don't like people. It's easy to find every excuse we can. But then we come alongside and hear the verses, in God, all things are possible. Do we believe it? Then why is he calling you? If all things are possible, don't limit God. Do it. You see, Zechariah in that moment, I think it was a natural reaction. He did not believe it. The angel, this heavenly being, this lighted up this room, sent by God, otherness, like from who he is, just appeared with a message from God telling him an unbelievable thing, and it was hard for him to believe it. Now, I want you to know, that's amazing, because I think we don't really have those moments today, right? We don't have the angel just standing before us, and we seeing it. Now, there's stories, but we don't have it necessarily. They did. He did. And he still struggled at believing that it was going to happen. God is patient with you. He's patient with me. But just like Zechariah, he might not silence you for 9 months, right? But you are going to miss out on the treasures of following God and what he has bestowed before you. I know in my life there has been moments where I know God has set before me the opportunity to share the gospel, the opportunity to be the gospel, the opportunity to live out what Jesus has done here, right? And I go, God, you can't use me. I can't do that. I'm in this age, or I don't know what to say in this moment. Like, I don't want to lose a friend, right? And I just walked away. Do you know there's years, there's moments that I look back and I go, man, what if? What if I said yes in that moment? What could have happened? What could have been? Now, I know my God is bigger and he doesn't have to wait upon me to use something to change somebody's life. I understand that. But the gift is when I get to be a part of what God is doing, man, it changes me. It changes me. And you know, I'm going to tell you this really quick. This is such a secret, and it's not a real secret, but when you go on mission trips, anybody been on a mission trip? It doesn't have to be far away. It can be in town, or it can be in the United States or any other country. But when you go on a mission trip, you know what the key thing that you always hear as a pastor or a youth pastor? Man, I don't know if we did any impact, but it changed who I am. Do you know why? Because you became a servant of God in those moments, and you lived beyond your own stretches, and you did what God was putting you there, and you were probably doing it with a sense of like urgency, a sense of hope, a sense of who you are, and you were doing it. And it changed you. It changed you. You see, the punishment, I think, today is when we say no, or I can't, or we're fearful of doing it, we miss out on the good works that are happening from God that change you. Because there's a reason he's inviting you to be a part of it. There's a reason. There's a reason why Zechariah and Elizabeth were chosen to be the parents of the best friend of Jesus, John the Baptist. And he was to prepare the way for our Savior. That's awesome. That's a cool thing. I'd be scared to death to mess up that kid as a parent. Anybody else? Right? But God is entrusting us with the hope that he's ready to bestow on this world. This is my challenge for you. We are getting ready. We're anticipating the coming of Jesus Christ, are we not? Every day we should be already thinking, hey, who knows when Jesus is returning again? But I want to live as if it is right now. And not in a way that I'm looking for the Antichrist, I'm looking for all the turbulence, I'm not looking for the horribleness of this world, but I want to be the hope that this world needs. I want to be able to show that Jesus has made a difference in my life, and for eternity, I know where I'm going to stand in his presence, and I want you right next to me. I want to love on you the way that Christ has loved on me. It's not easy. But that's the desire. And as we start Advent, as we wrap gifts, as we go a couple Sundays from this point on, you know, December 25th, and we unwrap the gifts, I want us to understand when we unwrap those gifts, we do it in remembrance of the one and true gift that is real, that continues to give. And may we unwrap it with the sense of hope that we are called to be part of this, called to be part of this story, called to be part of what God has planned for us, and we just have to say yes. Stand with me. I implore you to ask yourselves a couple questions. What fear and trembling do you live with? Are you fearful of what God has in store for you, or are you fearful that, man, I'm in the presence of my Maker, and I know He's got something in store for me? And are you ready to hear what He has for you? Are you waking up going, did you hear that? God wants to use me. Are you excited to live the way God has called you to live? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for this church that we can come together to worship you. Lord, as we prepare for Christmas, for the celebration of your birth, the celebration of you coming and being one of us, truly sacrificing to live and show us how to live and show us how to love, to live and show us how to sacrifice. Lord, may we truly understand that. May we listen for your voice. May we be eager to live out the calling that you have bestowed upon us. We give you all the praise. May we find hope this week in your presence. Amen. You're dismissed.